Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of your glory. And Father, as we gather with the saints of the ages in this quiet moment, we pray that the whole world might be filled with your glory, that this place might be filled with a sense of the presence of God. Father, we offer to you our deepest praise. We know that if we would not praise you, the very rocks would cry out. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit might anoint this place, that our ears might be open, that our eyes may see and behold the glory of your marvelous face. Father, may that glory enable us and empower us to be light and life and a word of salvation from you to a lost and dying world. Father, may these be moments of worship. May we truly worship you and glorify your precious name. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Remain standing and turn to page 215.
Sure. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoken to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods, whom we have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling unto him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge evil from amongst you.
We remain standing, and let's pause today in just a moment or two of silent prayer, and then let's join our hearts as I lead and we approach the Father. Our Father, as we are indeed in your presence today, we come in the name of Jesus. Father, we come acknowledging him as our Lord and Savior, as him the one that we choose to trust. God, we thank you for the privilege of being here at Southeastern. I pray that we will take full advantage of the hours that we spend here, that we will come to know your word, we will come to know fellow sisters, fellow brothers, as we prepare ourselves for the future, for the world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. Father, we sing a song many times about blessed be the tie that binds. God, I pray your blessings on the tie that we have right here among us. Father, I pray that as Southeastern looks forward to a new day, a new era, that your Holy Spirit will indeed be among us, will penetrate us, penetrate our classrooms, our study hours. God, help us to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is the tie that binds, but also that we have a common tie here in the Southeastern. God, many of us come today with heavy hearts. We have burdens. We would like to just lay them at your throne of grace, Father. I pray we do that. Many are personal and very private. Father, I pray that we leave them there with you, trusting you, that they will indeed be answered in your time and for your glory. Pray for the speaker here this morning. Give him the power to bring your message. Thank you, Father, for a beautiful day. Thank you for your many blessings. Father, I thank you for each one of these precious people here at this seminary. God, I pray that you will protect them and protect their homes, protect their families. Many have families at home that are making sacrifices so that they can be here. And God, I just pray that you honor that you extend your protection, your love. It's in the holy and the powerful and the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let's continue to worship and remain standing. We're going to sit down.
As a young boy, I had a hobby that I really, really enjoyed. Some of you might have remembered slot car racing. I used to build my models and race them on a track where anywhere from 2 to 8 cars were on the track. I had the opportunity to race quite a bit, and not only did I race, but I also, as I said, built the cars and worked on them constantly, day and night. They became my passion. They became my God. Because you see, not only did I race a lot, but I won a lot. And with that winning came incredible amount of notoriety. I had many victories, many trophies in my house. And as I said, it became my God. Unfortunately, one of the problems with that is the fact that, quite honestly, I left out very important things. My family, my friends, my schoolwork, but most importantly, I left out my God. Which brings me to my point this morning is, what place does God have in your life today? As we see in the verses 1 through 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 13, we see here the word prophet. A prophet is a foreseer, one who foretells of the future through visions or through dreams. But also, it comes to mean, in my mind, it comes to mean another God. Someone here who does not give us the word that God would want us to hear. One that we would take it our own way and go forth. In verse 2, I see the crux of this message, and it's the word other. It's another God. It's not the one that we are to worship with all of our heart and with all of our soul. This would be considered a false God, one that is not the true God. And there are many gods today that we can call upon that would keep us from the God that we worship. As we turn to the Word, we can see that not only do we look to the left, but we also look to the right. And in looking to the left, do we look to Satan? Do we look to the world? Do we look to Madison Avenue? Or do we look to the right and see God, the one that is there for us at all times? There are many false gods today. There are the obvious ones, but there are also the not so obvious ones. The obvious ones are such things as finances. Is finances the God that calls you and keeps you going? Is there a God of position, or is there a God of pride or ego in your life? I can honestly say in my own life, there are many times that ego and pride have gotten in my way of serving God. Is there a God of ambition in your life? Wanting to do more, wanting to go over people because you think that you're right. God is calling you not to do that. He's saying very clearly for not to be a God of ambition. These are all false gods that keep us from relating to the one true God that we need to relate to. Then there are also the subtle gods that we have in our lives that can strike at a moment's notice. There's the God of overindulgence. And when I say overindulgence, I mean such things in my own life as food or as time away from God's Scripture. There's the God of television. How many times have we spent 2 or 3 hours in front of a television watching our favorite ball game when we don't have the time to read two or three hours of God's Scripture? There's the God of exercise. There's little exercise, and there's too much exercise. God calls us to be spiritually fit. He also calls us to be physically fit. There's a God of education. There's a God of all these things that keeps us from relating to God, the one true God that we need to relate to. Verse 3 shows us very clearly that God is testing us. He is testing us in so many ways to see where our allegiance is. Where's your allegiance today? Is it with the one true God, or have you have too many gods in front of him? Where is your devotion? Is it with Jesus, or is it with self? We must look to God for all that we have in front of us, because he has brought each and every situation to us so that he can be glorified through it. Not only does God want us to come to him and to be with him, but he tries very fervently to keep other gods from our lives. We must get rid of all the gods that are in front of the one true God that we have before us. There are no exceptions to that, absolutely none. If we put other gods before God, we are selfish. We are calling the shots. And that is not something that we should do or need to do this day. God needs to be in his rightful place in our lives. How many times have we put other gods before us? And I know I keep going over this, but quite honestly, in today's society, we have too many gods. We have too many things that keep us from a right relationship with Jesus. As I said earlier, it can be education, it can be ambition, it can be pride, it can be ego, it can be a lot of things. But most importantly, brothers and sisters, we need to keep Jesus Christ on the throne of our lives as our Lord and our Savior. As we realize the fact that God is not in the rightful place of our lives, what must we do to get him back on the throne of our lives? First of all, we must confess that he is God, and that we and the other things that we have put before him are not God. God desires to have his rightful place in our lives, for he is a jealous God. He will accept no one before him, and neither should we. We should repent of the sin of putting other gods in front of him. So many times we put those gods in front of him, and we don't realize it until it's too late. I know in my own life, I've had opportunities where I have put other gods in front of God. And in retrospect, I have regretted it. We must repent of that sin because, yes, folks, it is sin. It is sin to put other gods before him. We need to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard to ask for, but yet it's also easy to ask for. It only takes one step. It only takes one word. Father, forgive me. We need to pray to ask God to forgive us, to repent and to move forward, realizing that he does forgive us, but we need to go forth and we need to ask for that forgiveness so that God will once again have the rightful place in our lives. And I pray that this day that we would choose who has the rightful place in our lives today. I pray that it be God and not other false gods.
May we stand and bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father God, as we come before you this day, as we bow ourselves before you and humble ourselves to seek the proper place in our lives for you, Lord God, just remind us of where our priorities are, of what our ultimate concern in our lives really is, of what we truly put first. And Lord, as we come to this question, as we ask ourselves, who is our God? Lord, just let us realize that we are created, God, for you, for your pleasure, to serve you. Lord God, let it be that we will seek your kingdom and not the kingdom of our other gods. That we will seek your kingdom first in all things and allow you to add all other things unto us. Father, as we come to you, we ask today that we would have the same attitude that John the Baptist had, who said that he would decrease, that you, Jesus, might increase. Lord, we pray for the same mind that Christ Jesus had, that would humble ourselves unto death, even unto death on the cross. That we would be sent, Lord, as your Son was sent, to the mission that he was sent to proclaim your world and your word and your healing to a lost world and a world that's in pain and in hunger and in desperate need. Lord, we pray today that our pride, our ambition, Lord, our selfishness would be turned into selflessness. Lord, that your will would be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. And that when tests come our way, that we would pass these tests, Lord, not in pride to ourselves of what we've done and what we've resisted, but in honor and glory given unto you. Father, for you are our God. You have made us, and not we ourselves. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. As we come to you today, we beg your forgiveness for those times which we have turned away, everyone into his own way. And we proclaim to you today a commitment, Lord, from our hearts and our lives, that we would in all our ways acknowledge you and that you would direct our path. This we pray together, Lord, seeking your guidance and your will in our lives. We pray in your precious name. Amen.